Amen. Thank you, Jane. That's beautiful. Beautiful singing and beautiful message. Thank the Lord. If you are interested in getting into Sunday school and you don't know where to start, there's no better place than the newcomers class. I don't think I've ever said that before, have I? But we had 82 people down there this morning. That's the largest newcomers class we've ever had. In case you think that's a fluke, why we had 80 a few Sundays ago, we had 70 last Sunday. We're certainly having a wonderful time and sharing with new Christians and some not so new Christians. But if you want to get started in Sunday school and you don't know where to start, why, we'll help you. Some stay only a week or two and then they move on to another class that is more meaty, because we are a milk class, and you might want to get into a meat class. And we'll help you find that class. Join us in newcomers downstairs in the fellowship area, in the overflow of the fellowship area, every Sunday morning, or choose another class. Get into Sunday school and dwell in the Word of God. Also, in regard to parking, we want to make it plain that the handicapped and the elderly are served by our ushers. If you simply drive up on Sunday morning and come inside and get an usher, they will come and help you with that handicapped person. They will park your car. They'll bring it to you after the service, so that it's very little extra moving for you. Now, if you have any problem with that, let me know, and we'll reduce some of these ushers off the payroll if they aren't careful. But they want to help you very sincerely. And so you let us know, and we'll park your car and pick it up for you and make it very convenient for you. In a moment, I'll be preaching on the sound of abundance of rain. Doesn't that sound good this morning? Also, as you leave today, you'll receive a copy of our annual report. This is published, as we suggest, annually. It contains the report of the pastoral staff and the auxiliaries and the financial statements of the church, the budget for the coming year, the boards and committee directory, and many other things. You may take one or two copies to your home if you wish. It's very beautifully put together by our office secretary, Catherine Hillen, and printed by the Big Red printing firm, the Blackman's printing firm, and they've done a beautiful job with it. And so you be sure, the ushers will have these as you leave today, and you be sure to have your copy. And then one more thing before I preach to you, and that is, I want us to give, let me put it that way, $7,000 tonight to pay off the bus loan. Could we do that in one evening? Could we do it without a lot of fanfare and without a lot of begging and without a lot of human effort and without a lot of Saudi Arabian oil pamphlets and Jericho roses and pieces of sand from the Sahara Desert and all that kind of stuff that you get if you send me $10? Could we do it just as a love offering to the Lord? Huh? We have had this note standing, I believe, for a year or two now. And the idea was it would be paid off by the various rental fees collected from the groups that use the bus. Now, they are very faithful in paying their rental fees. But those rental fees somehow get eaten up by repairs and by interest on that note. And so all we've been able to do thus far, I believe, is pay the interest about $500 every 6 months or so on that note. That's a waste of the Lord's money, don't you agree? And I'd like to see us just take a huge chunk, like a $7,000 chunk out of that note. It's due tomorrow at the bank, isn't it, Madam Bookkeeper? It's due tomorrow. So if you'll pray about it when you get home today, and ask the Lord, what can I do? Can I give $10? Can we give $100? Could we give $500? Could we give $1,000 to see that that is taken care of? You say, Pastor, is that really an urgent need? In my way of praying and thinking, yes, that's an urgent need. That bus is used constantly. Constantly in daycare, day camp, in youth work, by the singles. All of our auxiliary groups are using that bus. That's our new bus. That's our over-the-road bus. The other bus is the over-the-hill bus. And this is the over-the-road bus. And if you'll just think about it and come back tonight with a love offering, not your regular tithes, but with a love offering for the bus, I think God can do wonderful things if we'll let him. Amen? Amen. I love those hearty amens that I get at the end of a financial challenge. Kind of inspiring. All right. Now, I think I'm ready to preach. And I met Mr. Mather last night and some of his erstwhile friends that he runs with. In the Rusty Nail Steakhouse. Where better to meet Newell Mather than in the Rusty Nail Steakhouse? And I asked him, he got there before I did, and I asked him about a steak. And he was bragging about one of the steaks down there. And I asked him if it was about that large. He said a little bit larger than that, about that size. And I said, Newell, if I ate that, I probably couldn't preach an hour tomorrow morning. He suggested, no, that was about a 20-minute steak, and indeed, if I would eat it, he would buy it for me. Upon hearing that, I decided to get the biggest steak they had, and here I am ready to go this morning, Newell, in spite of your valiant efforts to slow me down, and may the Lord help us to be attentive to what God is saying to the church today. I appreciate your love and your prayers. And we're on a very difficult subject. Biblical demonology is indeed a difficult subject to preach on. And when you begin to search the scriptures and renew your thinking in these areas, many things come to play in your life of, I should not say an exciting, but almost a frustrating nature. I'm thankful that you, my people, are praying for me, and I want you to pray with me now that the Lord will help us as we preach the word this morning. Father, it is difficult for us to understand what you are endeavoring to do in the world today. We don't understand why Satan is on the loose. We don't understand all about fallen angels, how those demons and evil spirits perform the bidding of Satan. We don't understand their afflicting saints and their disturbing Christians, as well as their work in a dark world. But we know it's happening. And we're praying today that you will give us authority, and you will give us clear thinking, and you will give us utterance, and you will give us open ears and hearts so that we will hear and respond and say yea and amen to what God is saying to his church today. And therefore, be prepared for the coming of the Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're numbering the series, this is number 10 in the Welcome Back Jesus series. That is a series on the second coming of the Lord. It is number 4 on how to deal with the devil and demons. But there is no question about the scriptural fact that demonic activity will increase in the end times. And the direction of that activity will not only be toward the world. In fact, in a more subtle way, it will be toward the church. And it is important that Christians be sharper than ever before to throw off the attacks of the enemy and to be more than conquerors through God's love That's why we've been sharing with you as we prepare to meet the Lord. And this is vital to our preparation for His second coming. Why? Because it is our prayer, amen, that none be carried away by the error of the wicked, none be led into delusion, none be deceived by a false Christ or a false prophet or a false doctrine, but that all that God has given us be saved. Amen? That everyone on the good old gospel ship Zion makes it home to heaven when Jesus comes. So is our prayer, and so is the target of our preaching. Now, on Wednesday evening, I shared with you some of the experiences I have had with people who were indeed tormented by demons. We also shared many scriptures with you in conclusion to that thought that would lead us to victory. One of the young men was mentioned aloud, and I feel that would be appropriate to carry his name one step further today. For Rick Lamoureux was a theologian student here. He graduated from Bartlesville Wesleyan College, has gone to serve the Lord in pastorates in California, and he and Kathy are certainly as dear a couple as I have ever known and fellowshipped with. When Rick first came, he was indeed tormented by evil spirits. Now, unquestionably, there were other problems, for there usually are. But the evil spirits were taking advantage of those other problems. They usually do. Rick was ultimately delivered from the power of Satan, praise God, in a marvelous way. I mentioned to you that his dad and his mother were unchristian at the time, involved in a cultish religion that I believe contributed to the demonic activity in Rick's life, the attack of demon powers upon his life. The good news of that, and I failed to mention it on Wednesday night, is that since that time, Rick's parents have been saved. Amen? In fact, if I remember right, it was a night that Wendell Rovenstein was preaching back at the old church on Washington that they first came out of darkness into light. And in fact, Mr. Lamoureux has sat at that piano and sang for us and given his testimony, and both he and his wife at this time are walking with the Lord in a marvelous way. So not only was the enemy defeated in Rick's life, he was defeated, I believe, through Rick's prayers in his parents' lives, and now they are serving the Lord. So we see what God can do when we allow His Spirit to move in our midst and when we pray as we ought. Now, I want to share with you this morning on preparation for the casting out of demon spirits, or preparation, personal preparation in dealing with demon spirits. This is vital to your ongoing as a Christian in this day. Now, tonight, the Lord willing, I will share with you prayers, and you might bring paper and pencil with you if you want specific prayers that you can use, or words of command to demon spirits to be cast out in the name of Jesus. I will share with you basically three things tonight, and that's how to resist temptation. Secondly, how to loose one from the bondage of Satan or an evil spirit. And thirdly, how to cast out Satan and demon powers. And we will deal with that tonight, the Lord willing. But this morning, it is vital that we think about personal preparation for such spiritual activity. For it is unwise and unscriptural to walk into that kind of spiritual conflict unprepared. You must be prepared if you're going to face the enemy. And may I say that anyone who amounts to anything as a believer in the end times will face spiritual warfare. and they will need to know how to overcome. And we want to share with you what we have learned through the years in those areas. Number one, recognize your need of personal preparation. There will be 3 points this morning, God willing. Number one is recognize your need of personal preparation. And there are several sub-points there that I believe are vital to our preparation in dealing with demon powers and evil spirits. By the way, if you have question as to the reality of their existence and their movement in the world today, you are already part of the deceit that they are perpetrating upon the church and the human race. For they are very active in the world today and in the church, I'm sorry to say. Under that first main point, recognize the need of personal preparation. First of all, the purity of Jesus. The purity of Jesus. My friend, if there is anything demonic spirits cannot tolerate, it's a clean heart and a right spirit. They will flee from holiness. There is nothing more protective to the heart and mind of the believer than clean hands and a clean heart. The purity of Jesus. Anything short of that dissipates his power in your life and certainly renders you less effective in spiritual conflict. The purity of Jesus. Evil spirits know when Jesus is present. You know that? You do. They know when Jesus is present in a life. They respect his name. Not because there is magic in the name, but because there is power and authority in the person. Amen? In the person. Therefore, when we speak the name of Jesus and demon powers sense his purity and presence in our lives, they obey. They are fearful of the holy heart and the clean hands. Any man or woman or youth or child who is tolerating sin in their life, practicing sin, toying with sin, compromising with the world, is prey for demon spirits. Easy prey. Do not go to battle against the enemy unless you are clean in your heart and your mind. For the enemy will immediately attach himself to the unclean area of your life, and you will become the embarrassed one in the spiritual conflict. You say, Hauser, where do you find that? Glad you asked me. Acts the 19th chapter. Acts the 19th chapter. Paul preaching in Ephesus. Great miracles wrought by the hand of Paul. Verse 11. Verse 12. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. You see that? Evil spirits went out of those who were tormented and indwelt by the same. Then look at verse 13. Certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, amateur exorcists, and the Jews practiced it all the time. They practiced it. Took upon them to call over them which had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches to get out. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did this. Seven sons. And the evil spirits answered and said, listen, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? Demon spirits will laugh at your attempts if you live outside of the holiness of Christ. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on these seven men in tremendous power and overcame them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house both naked and wounded. As I said Wednesday night, they lost the battle and their dignity, both. Be careful about entering into spiritual warfare unless your heart is clean, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Unless there is no inner ally to Satan's program. Be careful. And if you sense in your life anywhere today an inner ally, something inside of you that cooperates with Satan's program, that tends in his direction, something of the world, something of lust, something of flesh, that bends towards Satan's deceptive program, you are not a candidate to deal with evil spirits. In fact, you need a cleansing. And the invitation is, come for a cleansing to Calvary's fountain. Amen? Praise the Lord. Secondly, in recognizing your need of personal preparation, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be made pure by the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the equipment. That's the divine equipment. Ephesians 5:18 states it clearly, does it not? Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why? Why? For any vacant areas in your life will only leave room for demonic activity, for evil spirits to dwell. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, what spirit will you be filled with? This matter of being filled with the Holy Spirit is not an option. It is an ultimatum, and it is an invitation. Amen? There's no choice if you are going to enter into spiritual warfare. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, if there's anything we've done in 2,000 years of Christianity, we've confused the issue. We've cluttered the way. We've theologized and categorized and whatever else until it has become difficult for people to find what God wants to lay out for them on a banquet table. And if you're sitting back there today saying, I can't be filled with the Spirit because I simply can't measure up to all this that I've heard and that and so forth, and I've tried before and I failed, and there seems to be a gnawing vacuum or an emptiness, I would say that's a deceit of the devil to keep you from having all that God wants you to have. For it is the delight of the Savior to give you His Spirit. And if you will come and ask to be filled today, and you will come in all sincerity, I know of no reason that God would turn you away. Be filled with the Spirit. And thirdly, in personal preparation, be knowledgeable in the Word. Be knowledgeable in the Word. What does Hebrews 4:12 say? Look at it with me. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. Preparing for spiritual conflict. For the Word of God is quick, living. Amen? The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a what? Is a discerner, and is able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Being knowledgeable in the Word. Oh, how vital that is. Dig into the Word, young man. Young woman, dig into the Word. Get the Word in your heart. Don't leave it on the printed page. Get it in your heart. Build a reservoir of memorized scriptures. Meditate on those memorized passages. Be able to draw that sword from your sheath in the moment of spiritual conflict and say to Satan, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Be knowledgeable in the Word. You know, I'm convinced, Pastor Larry, that if the enemy can, he'll keep us on a pablum diet where we never do get down to the meaty things of the Christian life, and we live in a shallow vein where we are easily overcome by the wicked one in spiritual conflict. Let the man or woman who intends to go with Jesus go all the way with Jesus. Amen? Let the man or woman who intends to amount to be something for God, the man or woman who intends to stand before evil spirits and demon powers and Satan himself and cast them out and release people from their bondage and see them gloriously free by the power of the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, let them be 100% for Christ. And that means get in the Word, know the Word, sharpen the sword. How have you come to church this day? I was praying for you this morning, and I wondered how you would come to the house of the Lord today. How did you spend last night? How did you prepare your heart this morning? Was it a last minute get up? We have so acclimated our thinking that Sunday is not God's day, it's man's day. And we even have scripture to prove it. And we call it man's day, and we live it up on Saturday night. And we get up the last thing we can on Sunday morning. We hurry through our preparations and race to church. We're fairly panting when we get there. We've made no inquest into the things of God. We've not had a quiet time. We've not meditated upon the things of the Lord. And yet we expect God to move in our hearts and give us a revival and stir us and bless us when we come to church. Many times the only reason you do get blessed is that somebody else has prayed for you and interceded for you and called on God for you. If you're going to get involved in spiritual conflict, brother, and if you don't, you're not worth a hill of beans in this day and age. If you're going to get involved in warfare against the enemy, get into the Word. Amen. Get into the Word. Saturate yourself in the Word. Soak it up in your life. And oh, what a strength it will be to you. The Word will give you discernment between good and evil. The Word will give you discernment as to certain gifts and certain problems and certain demons. I believe the Word will give you discernment. When you are sharp in the Word, you will be sharp in the things of the Lord. Listen, I became so burdened this past week over the young man who stood at my door in the midst of divorce proceedings, a young man that I married to his wife several years ago, whose marriage I thought was ideal. Ideal. I couldn't have described a happier couple. I couldn't have. It so crushed me. He had come across the miles to see me. It so crushed me that I got down on my knees Wednesday night. And I said, "God, I don't want you to let Satan touch any one of my people except I know it. I want to have the authority to pray in Jesus' name for their healing and for their health and for their deliverance before Satan touches them. You know what, brother? That's a dangerous prayer to pray. I've been awake every night since praying for some of you. Some of you. God laid you on my heart. And whether you were aware of it or not, evil spirits were seeking to hurt and hinder and destroy. And your pastor was praying for you. And I said, God, if it takes the last breath I have, I don't want Satan to touch my people except he first touches me. And I believe as your pastor, I have the authority to ask God to honor my intercessory ministry and to be able to plead for you. In fact, somebody here this morning was in trouble at midnight last night. I hate to say things like that because I've seen and heard so much of that that I felt was phony. But somebody in this congregation was in trouble at midnight last night. I woke up in a cold sweat. I was trembling. And I knew it was an attack of the devil. And I left the bedroom, and went back to my little closet. My wife said, Frank, you're getting more like your dad every day. I said, hallelujah. That's a compliment. That's a compliment. And there I prayed for you. I don't know who you are, but you were struggling last night at midnight. And God helped you. I trust God helped you. I was interceding for you. I was praying for you. Listen, the Word of God will give you discernment. You'd be surprised how God will open your eyes when you get into the Word. And you'd be surprised how dull of hearing you are when you miss the Word. Amen. Dull of hearing. Dull, cloudy vision. Misty around you. Get in the Word. Be filled with the Spirit. Be pure of heart. And you be prepared to do spiritual battle. I could go on and say, put on the whole armor of God. I could go on and say prayer and fasting is so vital. Why is it that some mountains do not move? Let's turn to the 17th chapter of Matthew and remind ourselves, because some of us are dealing with things in our lives that will not surrender to prayer. We've been praying and praying and praying, but there has been no answer. You look at the 17th chapter of Matthew, and as Peter and James and John come down with Jesus off the Mount of Transfiguration, they find the multitude in verse 14, and before them a certain man kneeling down saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I besought your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long will I have to suffer putting up with you? Bring that young lad hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed and say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, however, Jesus said, this kind of demon possession does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There's the answer to so much of our weakness in the church today. We're not equipped to do spiritual battle. Are we? Are we? Too many things that consume our time and our thinking. Too busy making a living to really live. And people go by us with their demon problems and their evil spirit attacks. And those mountains do not move
because we have not prayed and not fasted, and we have lost the meaning of the art of intercession and what it is to praise God. Let me go on to point number two. We must not only recognize the need of our personal preparation, but we must recognize our authority in the name of Jesus. Amen? We must recognize our authority in the name of Jesus. Just a few pages over in Matthew to the 28th chapter lays the groundwork for that beautiful thought. The 28th chapter of Matthew. Preceding what we call the Great Commission, what has Jesus said in verse 18? All power, amen? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go get them, amen? Go get them. All power is given unto me. And listen, friend, I am with you unto the end of the age. I am with you. If I read it right, it means that power and authority is with me today in spiritual conflict against the enemy. Praise the Lord. Dr. Paul Bilheimer, the sainted Dr. Paul Bilheimer, who was over 90 years of age at the last hearing, at the last of my hearing, I don't know if he's still alive or not. I trust that he is, for we need his kind in the world, preaching and writing and teaching. But he calls Luke 10:19 the Magna Carta of the church, and I've preached to you on that before. And isn't it true, Luke 10:19, the Magna Carta of the church, where Jesus is talking to his disciples who are rejoicing over the fact that devils were subject to them through his name. He said in verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on demons and evil spirits and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise the Lord. Recognize your authority in the name of Jesus. And oh, there's so much to be said there. It was an experience of Paul that stirred me in my reading this past week in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul is preaching in Philippi. In fact, this incident precipitated his journey into jail, right? If he had had wisdom enough to keep his mouth shut, he never would have landed in jail. But he was ministering in the name of Jesus. And there was one that followed him, you see in verse 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, which is that of a false prophet, met us, which brought her masters much gain, much money, by her fortune telling. And the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which was true, which show unto us the way of salvation, how to be saved, which was true. But listen, even though she was speaking truth, Paul was aggravated at what he knew was a demonic sound. It was a demonic possession. It was the voice of the devil. And so she did that for many days, and Paul, being disturbed by it all, finally turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you. Recognize your need of personal preparation. Recognize the authority we have in the name of Jesus. Do you know, listen, sainted mother and dad, some of you have been praying for years for sons and daughters. You've been trying to move mountains, and you've been asking, like the disciples, why hasn't it happened? Why hasn't it happened? How come this didn't come forth like we asked? You know why? Because you have never personally confronted the enemy and said, in the name of Jesus, come out. We don't like to admit to demon interference, do we? We don't like to admit to the work of evil spirits. It sounds kind of eerie to us, and we sound much too civilized. We seem much too civilized to have any kind of dealings with evil spirits. But I'm convinced some of you are dealing with prayer burdens in your life that will never move until you rebuke the demon spirit in the name of Jesus. And then last of all, recognize the importance of leading the oppressed to Christ, lest that deliverance be only temporary. And I'll be talking more about this Wednesday night, the aftercare of demon expulsion. The aftercare is so important. But recognize the importance of leading that person to Jesus Christ. Some people are interested in getting rid of their problems only. Amen? They don't want a Savior and Lord. They want to be free from a tormenting evil, a stronghold of Satan, an inroad of an evil spirit. They don't want a Savior. They want to be free, but they don't want a Savior. And so vitally important, so vitally important to lead that oppressed person to Christ and be prepared to do that. Not only be prepared spiritually in your own life, not only recognize the authority that you have in the name of Jesus as believers who are personally prepared and spiritually prepared, but be prepared to lead that demon-infested person, or that person who's been troubled by the stronghold of Satan or by evil spirits, be prepared to lead them to Jesus. If they've been to Jesus and gone away, be prepared to lead them back. Amen. To lead them back. Praise the Lord. For Jesus is the answer. Take a look at Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Jesus says an unusual thing about demon possession and troubles from evil spirits in the 12th chapter of Matthew. Verse 43, he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees who are asking him for a sign and so forth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that unclean spirit walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Watch it now. Then the unclean spirit saith, because he could find no place to inhabit, the unclean spirit saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he has come back, he finds it is empty, swept and garnished, but nobody's home. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Dear friends, that underscores the necessity of going beyond conflict with the enemy, going beyond demon expulsion, going beyond victory over evil spirits. Amen. To see that one delivered is in a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, you get that soul prepared just like you prepared your own life to deal with evil spirits. Amen. So that they share the purity of Jesus, they are filled with the Spirit of God, and they understand the knowledge of the Word of God and are clothed with the armor of God and are exercising prayer and praise and fasting and intercession. Dr. Merrill Unger is perhaps one of the foremost writers on biblical demonology. In fact, some years ago did a book entitled that,
biblical demonology. He is a distinguished Christian scholar. He has been pastor. He has been professor at Gordon Divinity School. He has been professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he writes very clearly with great insight concerning demon powers. And he says this, and I'm going to read this in closing to you today. Even in evangelical circles, he writes, where Satan and demons are recognized as existing, an atmosphere of make-believe prevails. Isn't that true? With regard to the extensive influence these spirits exercise against the human race. In other words, we kind of believe in evil spirits, huh? We kind of believe in demons, but it's kind of foggy and vague, and we won't place a lot of emphasis there for fear we'll become devil-obsessed, and God save us from that. He goes on to say, though tacitly the unscriptural idea is widely entertained that demonism presents no serious threat to the Christian today, the general truth that Christ defeated Satan and demon powers at Calvary is properly presented, but the believer's need for constant reliance upon God and use of his spiritual armor is left largely unexplained. Consequently, the intensity of spiritual conflict and the disastrous results of defeat are little recognized, and many believers fall victim. This is a Baptist writing to remind you. Many believers fall victim to Satan because they are not aware of his presence. Many evangelicals have a very imperfect concept of the power and operation of Satan. And as far as his demon helpers are concerned, Christians vaguely recognize the existence of evil spirits, but have no clear notion of their role in human conduct and the responsibility of the church as endowed with the necessary powers and authorities from the risen Christ and through the outpoured gift of the Spirit to conduct an effective warfare against these powers of darkness. Casting out demons, binding the forces of the evil, loosing victims from satanic enslavement are continuing needs, not activities relegated to the ministry of Christ and the early church alone. They are continuing needs in the church today. Every spirit-anointed minister should echo the words of the great deliverer who in Luke, the fourth chapter, quoted from the great prophecy of Isaiah 61, saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to those who are bound, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
As you prepare for spiritual conflict in the end times, recognize your need of personal preparation. Recognize your authority in the name of Jesus. And recognize the importance of leading the oppressed to Christ. As I suggested to you tonight, I will share with you, God helping me, how to resist the normal frontal assault temptation, how to resist temptation. Secondly, how to loose yourself or another from the bondage of Satan or an evil spirit. And thirdly, how to cast out Satan and demons in Jesus' name. And Wednesday evening, we will deal with the aftercare of those you have assisted in healing. I want you to pray with me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I think we ought to sing that old invitation hymn this morning, Carolee, just as I am, without one plea. When we believe you today that victory comes, when the name of Jesus is spoken, and it is in his name that we're asking that each prayer be answered. It is in his name that we praise you now, that all those who gather at the altar take a step of faith today in the ways of faith. Thank you, Lord. While I'm praying, let Christian friends come and gather and pray with these who have come. Will you do that, Christian friend? Everybody ought to have a Christian friend who will come and pray with them, or two or three. Help them on to God. Help them through in their prayer. Lift them up. Encourage them. Pray the prayer of faith with them. Oh, thank God, there's great healing in your own life if you'll do that. Some of you don't think about anybody but yourselves. And if you'd come and share your life that Jesus has given you with somebody in need, you'd find a new upsurge of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, that every prayer is being answered. And we know across this vast congregation this morning, there are many requests that are not evident by the person coming forward, but they're there. People are praying. People are weeping inside. People are thinking in particular of those that they've long been praying for. People are thinking of mountains that have not moved, and they believe. And they're going to sharpen their faith, and they're going to sharpen their knowledge in the Word of God, and they're going to believe for the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the sweet, holy presence of Jesus in their life until they stand ready to do battle, filled with the Spirit and clothed with the armor of God, ready to stand against the wiles of the devil and spiritual wickedness that exerts itself in high places, as well as the spiritual rulers of dark places. And they'll stand in the name of Jesus and overcome in his name. Glory to God. We believe that'll be the end result of our gathering here today. So it's a time of rejoicing and victory, and we thank you for it. Even now you are delivering in Jesus' name. Even now you are filling with your Holy Spirit. Even now you are cleansing those hidden places of existence where no one sees the uncleanness of our thought processes and those hidden words and those quiet thoughts. But even now, God is dealing, tearing down every idol, breaking down every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.